Thank you. That was beautiful. Well, as Darren and I continue in our discussion of a biblical understanding of the first fruits, that is a theme that carries itself through many of the pages of the Old Testament and eventually winds up in the pages of the New Testament, giving us a certain understanding of how it is that we ought to live our lives as a grateful people. And so I'd like us to consider from the book of Proverbs, that book of wisdom. And if you've never read Proverbs, I'd encourage you to do it and just take your time and enjoy it, because there is a lot of thoughtfulness in this book, and you can read a little segments at a time. And from the third chapter of Proverbs, the 9th and 10th verses. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. There's a book that I read a number of years ago, and it was very thoughtful and helpful to me in my understanding of the role of the Old Testament. I don't know that the author intended it to do that for me, but it did. It was a book entitled The Gift of the Jews by Thomas Cahill. I don't know if anybody else has read that book or not. But in this volume, this small volume, he talks about how it is that the Jews, in a very real sense, carried us the distance, so to speak. That they took us from being a people who were lawless and developed us into a people who had some sense of civilization, that there was right ways and wrong ways to do things. And it was an interesting, it was thought-provoking for me in this sense, that as you read through the pages of the Old Testament, and if we're honest with ourselves, there are those portions of the Old Testament as we're reading through them where we cringe a little bit, where we're made uncomfortable because what we're reading and what we're experiencing as we go through that is so foreign to how we live today. But Cahill would be quick to point out that even in those most gruesome of moments in the Old Testament, they were a far cry better than what was happening around the Jewish people of their time. That in a very real sense, the Jews were bringing civility to this world. Let me give you an example. Now, you know, we've heard the phrase, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and we know it really from Jesus' teachings, where he is talking about how to forgive. That, you know, I've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but behold, I'm telling you, you can turn the other cheek, to love your enemy, and so on. But if you go back to the Jewish times, you go back to those early days of our Judeo-Christian faith, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was a grand improvement, because the societies around the Jewish nations would not have understood the concept of justice. They would not have understood that there was equality or egalitarian to justice being meted out. So that if you, say you stole something from a neighbor in that day, you wouldn't have to like give back for that you took. They would probably just kill you, plain and simple. There was no equality to it. It was just whatever violence could be meted out, and it was always who was the strongest and who was the most violent who won out in the long run. But the Jewish people, being directed by God, were being led in a different way of doing justice in a way that was healing and wholesome and would develop a renewed sense of what is right and what is wrong in the person who did the wrong and the person who was wronged. And we see that throughout. I know this is kind of a lecture sort of thing. I apologize for that. But this is good stuff. If you want to listen, you can listen. If you want to catch your morning nap, that's okay too. I understand. I get into these teaching sermons and they're a little dry. But one of the main things that we saw happening with the Jewish people was their understanding of God. We know that. I mean, I'm stating the obvious here. That it was the Jewish people who brought into the world the idea of there being one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That is the basis of the Judaic faith. That is the basis of the Christian faith, that the Lord our God is one. And that was, and we forget this part, we forget this part because we are so used to thinking of God in the singular. But in the days of the Jewish nation arising, that was a radical different concept for them. You see, they lived in a world where you had a God for every little thing. You had a God for every need that you had. You had God for you know, if you needed rain, you had a God that you would appeal to for rain. If you had crops that you wanted to come up, and you had a God to appeal to that. And if you wanted children in your family, you had a God to appeal to that. If you wanted food on your table, you had, you know, you could just go through the whole list. There would be hundreds and hundreds of gods, because whatever you needed, there was a God for that. And you would appeal to that particular God, and you would create some image of what that God looked like or what that God was, and you would have your home would be literally filled with all these little altars and all these little images of God throughout your house. And it was just like, let's see, okay, tonight I really need, I need a good fire and to cook the meal. So let's see, got a fire. Oh, there he is. And that would be the one that you would offer your praise to and appeal to. The Jewish people came around with their wisdom and said, there is but one God. The creator of us all, the maker of us all, the redeemer of us all, the sustainer of us all. There is but one God. But the other element, and this is where I wanted to get to with this. The other element that plays such an important part in this, and why this concept of the first fruits is so prevalent throughout the pages of Scripture, is that they were also the first ones who said, you don't give to God for what you can get. You give to God for what you have gotten. Simple enough, isn't it? But it's a point that maybe sometimes we still miss. Because with the societies around the Israelites, every time that they gave something to God, it was a quid pro quo. Okay, God of fire, if I give you this, then you're going to make sure that my fire stays lit all night long. Oh, God of rain, if I give you this, then you are going to do this for me. And so on and so on and so on. It was all about paying the gods to do their jobs, of seeking to give to these little deities so that they would do for you what you wanted them to do, when you wanted them to do it, and how you wanted them to do it. And the Jewish people came along and said, bring your first fruits to God. Out of the wealth of what you have, the writer of Proverbs says to us. Now, I know that kind of phrase throws us. You know, anybody here want to say you're wealthy? Yeah, I didn't think I'd see any hands going up on that one. But wealth is not the amount of money you have. It's the state of mind that you have. Wealth is when you realize that everything that you need, God has provided for you. I have known wealthy people who had $0 in their bank accounts. And I've known people who had millions of dollars and were always worried about tomorrow. Out of the wealth, out of the blessings that God has given to us, we bring the first fruits. And so the Jewish people taught us and help us to see and understand that our act of giving, and this is why the offering is a part of our worship service. I know there's more sensible ways to raise money, and there's more sensible ways to collect the gifts that we need to keep the church going. But the offerings are still very much a part of our worship service, because it is an act of worship. It is our tangible way of saying, thank you, God. Out of the wealth that I have received from you, I'm giving this portion. The first fruits. Not what's left over. Not if I have a little extra. But the first check that I write is going to go to you, because I know that you are the provider of all the blessings I have received in tangible ways and in the intangible ways. We give out of gratitude. We don't give to get. We give because we have first been blessed by God in ways that are genuinely immeasurable. It's a gift of the Jews to us that there is one God, a God who loves us, a God who sustains us, a God who cares for us and provides for us, a God that will do it, will provide for us and care for us when we've wandered away and when we've come back home. His is an unconditional love freely given to each of us. We bring our first fruits because we see that unconditional love so freely given to each of us. We recognize that the blessings that we have are a gift from the one true God. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do give you thanks for all the blessings we have received have come from your hand. O Heavenly Father, help us always in every part of our lives to be grateful people, to serve you not out of obligation, but to serve you out of gratitude and out of love, because you have first loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.